come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. As we get closer to the election, these two subjects dominate the conversation. My next guest is a futurist with an unorthodox background in medicine and dance, combined with experience in brand strategy and product development. We'll discuss what changes, what doesn't, and what's next from her book, Think Like a Futurist. Cecily Summers is a global brands analyst. She speaks, writes, and consults on emerging trends, markets, and technologies shaping our future. Cecily is the author of Think Like a Futurist and a founder of the Push Institute, a nonprofit think tank. Cecily was named one of Fast Company's 50 readers' favorites, as well as the Business Journal's 25 Women to Watch. She's a regular contributor to NPR All Things Considered and a proud member of the Association of Professional Futurists. Cecily lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota, joining us from that city. Hi, Cecily. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. Nice to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you for truly being a thought leader, being way out there. What I liked about your book, you assert right off the bat, the future is predictable, but its outcomes are uncertain. That's intriguing. That's because outcomes depend on four very predictable forces, as you outline them in the book. What are those four forces driving outcomes?
The four forces that have shaped society, always have and always will, are resources, technology, demographics, and governance.
All right, and what do you mean by each of those? I mean, let's break them down. Resources seems pretty obvious, how much resources you have, whether that's money or raw materials or whatever. Talk to us, though, about the others, which are a little less obvious: technology, demographics, and governance.
Well, the four forces really are a deconstruction of what it is that brings us together as a group of people and why we form societies, which is to produce more together than we can alone. So it's fundamentally an economic model at its very basic level, so that in that situation, resources refers strictly to raw materials. What does our environment give us from which we can then extract value? And this is, so resources refers to food, energy, water, sunlight, land, ocean, space, and so forth. Technology, which is the next force, is the broad array of tools and methods that we use to convert the raw materials into secondary products. And it's really technology that expands our capacity over time and that has driven human progress. Demographics is, now that you have those capabilities, who's around there to participate in those activities is really important. And so we look at distribution of gender, of skill, of age, certainly. All of those have a great bearing on how well a society can produce over time. How secure are they to go into the future? And then finally, with those three levels of assets, resources, technology, and demographics, you have to come up with some rules of cooperation. And we do so by the rule of law and the rule of the market.
My guest is Cecily Summers, author of the book Think Like a Futurist, Know What Changes, What Doesn't, and What's Next. And Cecily, I like the way that you break it down. It's a very cogent argument that you build here, but I have to ask you the question, what happens when you introduce something like a black swan? Black swan is Nassim Taleb's term that he's introduced into the business vocabulary, and that is an unpredictable, unknown, random event, very much like the attacks on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon on 9/11 when radical Islamists used commercial jetliners as bombs. How does your model take into account these black swans?
Well, the first thing that we do is to say that while the future may be predictable in terms of how it evolves and rolls out, and we can understand the potentials, such as tribalism that really contributes to some of the terrorism, what we refer to as terrorism, and the intelligence that was going on the ground. There were many things that were indicators that something like this was possible. And that's the best we can do, is to seek possibilities so that we can entertain them in our imagination because it's really how we envision, quite literally, envision the future that allows us to be prepared for things that might be unexpected. So that's a lot of the scenario development that often gets done by futurists, where we say, let's exercise our thinking and think this all the way through. What might happen? And if so, how would we anticipate it and prepare for it? That said, to your point, the day, the means for it, all of these climactic events that happen, we don't really have any control over, but we can be better prepared for being on the outlook.
All right, that makes sense. My guest is Cecily Summers. So, Cecily, let's put your system to work. Now, I hope that you're about to tell me that we're on the verge of a tsunami of innovation, but I'm going to take the position that we haven't had too much progress in the past 40 years if you exclude telecommunications and computers. And let's take a look at a variety of industries where there's been little or no significant progress, and I'm just going to start with transportation. When you think about it, we haven't really made significant strides in transportation over the last 40 years. The Concorde, which was the supersonic jet, has stopped flying, so we haven't made any progress with jets. Cars, we still have cars. We're still driving around in our cars. It may be that we have a Prius today that we didn't have 40 years ago, of course, but the overall mode of transportation hasn't changed. So let's apply your four principles to the issue of transportation to see what the future might hold.
40 years. So I'm just going to start by with a little caveat, which is that 40 years is very, very little time. And when we consider more of the 100-year spectrum and how far transportation came in the last 100 years, it's really still very, very dramatic. Are we on the verge of something new that's going to explode forth? Well, what we're seeing next is these automatized transportation vehicles like self-driving cars, or let's say again cars or some other vehicle that we can control with our thoughts alone. Those are the kinds of things that are being added. So most change is evolutionary. We add to it as opposed to just from out of nowhere we suddenly develop a new capacity. And so I believe that those will really be the big ones in our personal culture. And then even larger than that is what's being happening in terms of research and new technologies that can take us into space and make the oceans habitable as well. And that's big, and it is underway now as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about making the oceans habitable, because 70% of our planet is ocean, and we're living on these little chunks of land that we have separated into what we call continents. If we could make the ocean habitable, that might change the dynamic. It would certainly add to the planet's capability to go beyond 7 billion people. So what strides are being made in this area of making oceans livable?
Well, the most recent one is fairly dramatic. I don't know if you're aware that this archipelago called the Maldives is a beautiful island paradise that is pretty quickly now drowning. Sea levels are rising, and they're having a hard time seeing that they're going to have any future at all. And that really poses some interesting questions of what is the future of a nation if its land goes away? What becomes of a people and a way of life and culture, language, all the rest of it if that land goes away? And they've done some dramatic hand flag waving of saying, you know, really, 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 people, we need to be paying attention to climate change because it is affecting us very directly, and let us be the canary in the coal mine. And what's interesting is just in the last year, there is a new company, and forgive me, I'm not going to remember its name, but that is introducing floating islands, manufacturing islands that are being touted now as the Maldives will be one of the areas where they're trying this out.
Wow, that's fascinating. My guest is Cecily Summers, author of the book Think Like a Futurist. All right, Cecily, let me throw another big topic at you, because here's another area where I don't think we've made a whole lot of progress in the last, say, 30 years, and that's in gene therapy. We cracked the human genome 30 years ago. So where are our personalized drugs? Where's the end of disease as we know it?
It's coming. It's really coming. I mean, those are the kinds of things that happen in the lab right now. What it takes to bring them to market is maybe another couple of decades, quite honestly. The difference between what you're recognizing as, you know, where, why don't we have this now, and the kind of work that I do is to take a look at what are the capabilities and discoveries that are being developed in science labs right now that tell us, yes, that future is on its way.
All right, but let me just challenge you if I can, Cecily.
Sure.
But let's use your four parameters: resources, technology, demographics, and governance. If we take a look at demographics, we're all getting older. That's an irrefutable fact. And the baby boom generation right now is the largest generation on the planet. It would seem to me that if we're going to make advances to help the baby boom generation, that they'd be happening rather quickly. The other area I want to focus on is governance, because this gets into a whole thorny issue of what do governments do if all of a sudden our octogenarians turn into centenarians? We're living 100-plus years. How does that change Social Security? How does that change providing medicine? How does that change living? How does that change driving? Those are the big things that we're going to have to grapple with as the baby boom generation gets older.
You're exactly right on this latter point of that these are, again, to the four forces model, a force that reshapes society in a pretty significant way. And we have to reconcile a lot of these challenges as they come up. With regard to gene therapy, they are molecular engineering is really what's happening. We're seeing gene therapy really come forward more in areas like biofuels, quite honestly, where they splice genes into algae, and as a result of their normal metabolic process, they now can put a waste product that has petroleum-like properties. That is the same thing. It is gene therapy also. We just learned about Nobel Prize winner in chemistry who determined, and I don't know the details of this, but determined what the physiological and I think genetic component is behind the fight and flight response. So the research that's happening on the atomic level, looking at genes and atoms, it continues to deepen all the time, and people are playing with different therapies. What brings it to market, of course, is investment, regulation, all the rest of it, and that takes a lot longer.
That it does. My guest is Cecily Summers, author of the book Think Like a Futurist. So, Cecily, let's bring this on down to the more practical level, at least the business level, if we can. What I liked about your book is you take people into what you call the zone of discovery, or the ZOD for short. And in that zone of discovery, you're looking to find three basic emotions: awe, ah, and aha. So explain to us how you might lead a company through to find their awe, their ah, or their aha moment.
Well, this harkens to what we understand about discovery. And discovery is, in fact, tripping over something that you've never experienced or seen in a particular way before. And you say, aha, I've never seen it that way before. And the truth is, indeed, you haven't. And what the neurology behind that is very interesting. So we'll take a step back and talk about the brain's ability to make predictions, which is what we do every single moment of the day. As you and I are speaking here, you're imagining what I'm going to say next. You know, you start to fill in the blanks. And we do that based on the memories of past experiences that are stored, let's say, as data files. And when we come into a new experience, we pull from those data files and we project the past onto the future. So when we are looking at new problems, a problem really being defined as something that we just don't understand very well yet, we have to create new experiences, bring in new information and research and all kinds of things that make new memories, so that when we now contemplate this problem or issue, we go, oh, this information is now colliding with old memories, and suddenly there is a shift in perspective. My goodness, I have never seen it that way before. We have new neurological connections that we give a new perspective. That's what underlies discovery, is the addition of new inputs in order to see things differently. And as we go, what tells us we're on the road is that there's some internal resonance where we are inspired by awe, A-W-E, a sense of wonder. it tells us that we are beginning to perceive things in a very new way, and it is opening our curiosity to go a little bit deeper, and that's very, very important if we want to solve problems.
It is. My guest is Cecily Summers. She's teaching us to know what changes, what doesn't, and what's next from her book, Think Like a Futurist. Cecily, what do you want readers to take away from reading Think Like a Futurist?
I want them to understand that change does happen in a predictable way, and that if you follow the Four Forces model, it's just a terrific tool for scanning and looking for change on the horizon. That if you are wanting to solve big problems, that what you have to do is to pour a lot more information and experiences into your brain so that they can cook up new insights. And then lastly, that to really bring those two processes into your life and into your business, that you assign 5% of your time and your budget to looking out into the future through the Four Forces, taking a look at what it means for you through a zone of discovery process or really bringing in new information, and then continuing to keep up with that so that we can make sure that what we're doing every day is related to the future that we choose to create.
My guest has been Cecily Summers, author of the book Think Like a Futurist. Cecily, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
I invite them to come to cecilysummers.com, CecilySommers. CecilySummers.com is where you'll find more about me and the book and all kinds of fun things.
Great. Cecily, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you.